Welcome. You are listening to the Better Together podcast with Callie and Rosario Picardo. We take on topics involving marriage, ministry, parenting, communication, relationships, and other subjects that our listeners want to hear more about.
Welcome to another edition of the Better Together podcast. I am your co-host, Rosario Picardo, and I'm here along with...
Callie Picardo, and we've got two fun guests today with us, Zach and Megan Feenhold. So excited y'all with us today, guys.
Yes, thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Now, Zach and Megan, you guys rock because you're both members of Mosaic Church, which, of course... is the best church we know, but
naturally.
But tell us what you do occupation wise.
So I work at Dayton Children's Hospital, mostly the main campus, and I'm an orthopedic tech and athletic trainer as needed. So I mainly work in the orthopedic clinic doing splinting and casting and braces and stuff like that.
And I'm a project engineer for the military value stream at Collins Aerospace. Our location in Troy is wheels and brakes specific. So I'm a airplane wheel and brake engineer. Let's put it that way.
Wow. That sounds pretty amazing. You're the power couple. How did you guys meet?
So we met at Olivet Nazarene University. We were both on the track team, and actually, when we met, I was an injured athlete and he was an athletic trainer in the training room. And he had his big long beard and his muscles, and he stood in the corner with his arms crossed with his thermos so nobody would come talk to him. So I avoided him at all costs, naturally. And then one time I needed help and no one was available to help me. So I asked him, and it was a very brief conversation, but fast forward, a mutual friend helped him actually meet me, and then the rest is history.
Zach, is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, it always starts with that story.
It's true.
So what did you do when she approached you for help as athletic trainer? You know, what'd you think? Were you like, oh my goodness, this girl seems really cool?
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely interested, but unfortunately with that dynamic, there's more of a, you know, a professionalism trying to maintain that student, training, professional in training, relationship. And I didn't want to overstep any bounds. So I just kind of held that until, like she said, our mutual friend kind of introduced us. And then, I had, the guts to ask her out on a date, and then we went to, Noodles and Company.
Yeah, right before track meet. So we got our carb loads in. It was great.
Love it. And then how long have y'all been married now?
3 years last week.
Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you.
You celebrated a very big milestone for your 3-year anniversary. What was it?
We paid off our debt.
Yay!
Now, how much debt are we talking?
Well, we... sat down and did the numbers. When we first started, technically when I graduated in 2017, I had about $10,000 more on my loans than when we actually got serious about it and started paying on it starting in August of 2020. So our real debt total was around $90,000 to $100,000. But since August of 2020, we kind of decided to sit down and get serious about it and go through the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace Program. And since then, we paid off $67,462. And also in that time, we cash flowed $12,000 in car repairs, and we had to replace our car, paying $3,100 cash flow out of that. So in that time, roughly...
$82,000. Oh my God.
Wow. What a milestone.
Yeah.
So now you're debt free. My
God. And it feels good.
That probably to some people's like, that's amazing. I could never do that. I mean, how did you overcome those initial feelings of this is huge? Like, how am I going to get there?
We each other, because, something that you'll hear people talk about when they talk about aggressively paying off debt is there's two types of people. There's your nerd and then there's your free spirit. I was the free spirit who was kind of like, we'll be fine. You don't necessarily have to do this. Sometimes I wasn't always like that. I am an engineer, so I do like things to be, you know, orderly, but Zach is definitely the nerd. And so when I was feeling just down and depressed about this pile of debt that was just looming over our heads, he'd be like, no, this is, we're going to sit down. We're going to make our budget. We're going to stick to our budget. We'll be fine. And then I would rebound and we'd be fine. So definitely each other is how you get through the awfulness. Having each other as support was super important because I couldn't have done it alone.
Well, I love that because that's very much the better together of this Better Together podcast. It's often, especially if they're a couple, and you're doing your finances together, if one is trying to get out of debt and the other is spending, it doesn't work. So how did you all start the process? Like, where did you start?
Well, so it does go back to about 2017, where I was graduated. We were engaged. We were just waiting for Megan to graduate, where we were getting married right after she graduated from college. And in that limbo period between the two, I distinctly remember making financial decisions for myself without really any impact or implication on the future of us together. And there was this one purchase I had. I got a computer. And Megan was like, why did you buy that? And I said, honestly, I don't know. I just kind of wanted a computer. And in the meantime, we were trying to cash flow the wedding. And at this point, I had heard about financial peace. And I knew the principles, but I wasn't tithing. I wasn't putting aside extra money for the wedding. I was kind of relying, oh, our parents will help us out a lot with it. But it was kind of like a flip that switched where I said, I really have to start to take this seriously. I know we're not as one yet, but I have to start treating it like that to get prepared for it and taking Megan's feelings into consideration. So it was really coming together and me starting to tithe and realize, you know, this is not mine. I'm a steward of this money. And being able to share that with Megan and then eventually, you know, getting married, it kind of brought us together a lot closer to be able to work on that together. I think it was honestly a huge mound, but it was a great start to our marriage to be able to work as a team like that and then get to the point where we are now.
So you weren't tithing before, but in the midst of trying to get debt free, you all decided to go ahead and give 10%. I mean, so you were doing that 10% giving in addition. Oh, what's Megan?
So Megan tithed.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I did not.
I was on the struggle bus in college. Okay. So we got engaged my junior year and I was literally working 5 jobs while in the hardest year of engineering school and running on the track team. I was dying, but something that was very, very strongly instilled in my siblings and I growing up is that our money is not ours and the first 10% goes back to God. So it's just something that I kind of never really even thought about. I'm like, this is just how we do it. And this is how I do it. And so after the computer thing, which I forgot about, but I didn't forget about. So he said that, I was like, oh my gosh, I remember now. Anyways, after that instance, we kind of started to like sit down and talk about, okay, well, how do you look at and think about money? How do I do it? Like, well, as you know, I'm struggling because I'm a poor college student and I'm exhausted, but I tithe and that's the first thing that I do. And I think that is beneficial to giving your money purpose, but also doing what God asks us to do. So kind of half and half, yes. Tithing started during the debt payoff for one half of the Fiendhold couple. But the other half didn't have a whole lot of money to tithe anyway. So, so yeah.
Zach, how did that feel? Was that a big risk step? Was that a big faith step? What happened when you started tithing?
It was kind of in the midst of wedding savings. So there was a lot of like cost that needed to, in the plan that we followed, it said every dollar needs an assignment. That's why you need a budget. So you're telling your money where to go. And all that money above tithe had already had a name, already was being spoken for because of the wedding. And so it was tight, but in the midst of all that, it worked. Like people say, you know, if I tithe, I'm not gonna have money left over. You know, I'll give what I can. And it just seemed like once I started to put 10% from the moment the paycheck hit, then everything else was taken care of. It just didn't seem like there was ever a point where it was in question. It always worked out.
Sometimes it literally feels miraculous. You're like, how in the world? Okay, this is cool. I'll keep doing it, obviously, but my car just broke down on the side of the road. Our serpentine belt and water cooler busted and we're stranded in Flint, Michigan, which happened during this time period. But we've been okay. As soon as we said we're not taking on any more debt, we're paying it off, we never went backwards. We only went forward. And I'm a firm believer that keeping God in the center of it and honoring him by paying tithe definitely didn't hurt, if that makes sense.
Oh, it totally makes sense. What kind of sacrifices, you've hit on this some, what kind of sacrifices have you guys had to make to get to the point you are now?
His family is leaving to Hawaii in like a week, and they really, really, really wanted us to come with. And we said no, because we wanted to be done and out. So that's very trivial. I feel like missing out on a vacation, but that's kind of sucked. But it was a lot of like sacrificing these long trips to go see family, I feel like, was the hardest part for me. My family is literally all over the United States, from Northern Michigan to San Antonio, Texas, to Phoenix, Arizona. Like, we're all over. And so it was a lot of asking family to come to us, and we couldn't really be super flexible to spend a ton of money on driving places or flying places. And that was the hardest part for me, I would say.
Yeah. And then just the day-to-day stuff with, you know, we can't eat Chick-fil-A five times a week. Wish we could, but we actually have to use our stove.
Was I don't know if you did any kind of premarital counseling, but when did you guys start talking about finances?
It was
while we were engaged.
Yeah,
cash flowing the wedding.
Yeah.
So the wedding was kind of precipitated all that.
Yeah.
And I mentioned, I read the book, the Financial Peace book. And then she, I think I just briefly mentioned it to her.
He gave me the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah. And I said, hey, we should do this. And, it just kind of, spiraled from there. We just, took all the principles and tried to apply them to our current situation. And he said, don't combine your finances before you're married. But we
didn't.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't really combine our finances, but I was trying to help out with her college as much as possible, like her food and groceries and stuff. And I actually gave her my car and I got another one towards the end of her senior year. So she could kind of like travel to see her family and come to see me on a weekend, because it wasn't that far from my house. So
what are some principles you learned outside of the book that experience and God and other things have taught you?
For me, I would say growing up, learning about tithing is probably the number one, but also I think, I kind of grew up looking at other people and family and seeing things being crazy and thinking, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. So I feel like I learned a lot more from other people's bad mistakes and being scared of making the same ones, which is not necessarily the best way to be, right? You don't want to live your life in fear, but I didn't want to do that. And so that, and then I think coming to Mosaic and having a really, really great church family, our home away from home, definitely helped. Because like, you guys know I cry all the time. I go on stage to praise and worship. So even just being around my family, being able to cry about whatever I'm stressed out about helped.
Yeah. And I think just living in a world of instant gratification and trying to, you know, lean more on delayed gratification and, you know, God's timing with this is the best timing. And it teaches you patience to cut out a lot of your normal day-to-day things that you do and to be able to, or to have to wait for certain things. It definitely puts it into perspective what you actually need. And Megan and I were talking about this the other day, and it kind of just showed us like material things that we have don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. There's not these things are definitely wants, but they, when it comes down to it, they don't really matter all that much. So
I guess if anything, figuring out what we do and don't need outside of what, you know, following the guidelines that Dave Ramsey built, whatever, right? Like just realizing what we do and don't need to survive. That was pretty impactful because that helps you stick to a budget when you realize you don't need to go Dunkin' Donuts every single morning on the way to work, you know?
What kind of tool do you use to track your budgeting?
A budgeting app.
Yeah, so the app system that comes with the program, they have a subscription base, but there's also a free version. It's basically the difference of getting all the videos for the classes and having the transactions automatically upload from your bank account to the app, or just the free version manually inputting everything. But it's an app tracking or a budget tracking system that syncs across other apps. So there's a budgeting app, and then there's a baby steps app, which tells you which baby step you're on. And now we're in 3. And 3A and 3B are kind of saving 10 to 20% down for a house and saving an emergency fund. So we're kind of in that phase right now. So,
but we use an app for budgeting.
Yeah.
So what are you looking forward to next? Now that you are debt free, what was there like a prize, a celebration if you got there?
Having more than a very small emergency fund will feel nice. That'll feel really nice. And yeah. Then I can't even say it.
She wants kids. And I think everybody in the family knows that, but they're kind of just along for the ride, patiently yet not so patiently reminding us that we need to have kids.
Well, you all wait on yours. We love that. We would love to have some unofficial nieces and nephews.
Yeah, we'll hold a little fiend hold.
So
I'm under our wing.
But that's so awesome that you're getting to that spot. It's, you know, kids aren't cheap, and now you're in an even better spot financially to be able to prepare for that next step. So that's really cool.
And you want to pass that blessing on to them. And
yeah,
we've asked family and other folks to, instead of buying gifts, like large grandiose gifts, to give to each of the girls have a college fund. And we've
since they were babies,
since they were all babies. And so the market has done really well up until recently, and it's helped tremendously. Doesn't mean they don't get gifts, but Hannah got, for her birthday, got a nice American Girl doll
it was an ice cream truck, but it was a hand-me-down from another friend who was passing it along. So completely.
So
free
we didn't
to
buy
us,
it,
but she loves it. Oh my goodness, the doll-size ice cream truck, and thinks it's the best thing ever. So when kids are little,
like we've done that, like
they don't know
secondhand
things
stuff,
are brand new,
cleaned it up, Christmas presents, all those things.
Oh yeah, I think my whole work wardrobe is secondhand. Honestly, I don't remember the last time I bought a work shirt full price. In fact, I think that's everything. Like all my clothes, except my jeans. My jeans is the only thing that I can't get away with buying secondhand.
And Aldi has been wonderful.
Oh yeah. Figuring out which grocery stores are cheaper than others. It's amazing. It's incredible.
Well, you're the second person who's mentioned Aldi to me this week. So I think I need to start checking that out for
Do it.
It is great.
They also do like Instacart pickup. So you have no excuse.
Oh, awesome. I love it. Well, hey, anything else that you want to share? Just encouragement for those who might be on this debt-free journey to becoming debt-free, or knowing they need to start it, but not quite there yet.
I would say if you're in it, just keep going. Just keep your head down and just keep going. It's going to suck and it's okay to cry because you're frustrated, but just keep going, because it's really, really hard to describe the feeling when you're done, but I guarantee you it's not a feeling you want to miss out on. You definitely, 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 definitely want to know what it feels like to be debt-free. We're only a week into being debt-free and it's amazing. It's incredible. I have had this debt looming over my brain since, you know, I signed to go to college, because I had to take out loans right off the bat because I couldn't afford it. And now I'm free. Like 7 years later, I'm free. And it's amazing. So just do it. You can do it. Just buy yourself like a Nike shirt that says just do it and just wear it every day. You'll be fine.
You'll save money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Secondhand.
Yeah. I think, being in debt is one thing, but maybe weighing out other options before getting to that point, if you're younger, where you look into scholarships or community college. Like, it's not embarrassing to go to community college. It's more embarrassing to take on tens of thousands of dollars in debt and just be reminded of that every day after you graduate. And I think it's one of those things that we don't really talk about at a younger age to the kids in high school or even younger, to where there are other options, and to be able to explore those and maybe see what else is on the table for you is crucial at that point.
I think along those lines, I just thought of this. Something like he said, it's not really talked about to high school kids. Schools, I feel like even down to elementary schools now, are really pushing like, no, where you want to go to college, you have to go to college. But also ask, how are you going to pay for it? Because you should not take out loans. There are ways to get through without. You don't have to.
And you're also in elementary school. Like, I just learned my shapes. So I shouldn't have to be figuring out where I need to go to school. Right.
So parents, don't be afraid to talk to your children. Because I really, really wish that my parents had actually sat me down and made me think about it before I signed 7 years of my life away to debt. So how are you going to pay for it before you go? How are you going to pay for it? Figure it out.
With that being said, we just want to thank you guys for being on the show. And one last question, how is it that you and Zach, Megan and Zach, are working toward becoming better together?
Well,
in your lives and in your marriage and whatever else.
I think the big one for us is communicating.
Yeah.
Can I tell? In fact, right before this, we may or may not have had a little argument, but
Zach's pinching you now under the like, why'd you tell him?
But communication is only going to help in literally everything. And if you're going to go through this with someone, whether they're your support system or they're in the trenches with you, you have to talk to them. You have to talk to them about what your money's going to do. You have to talk to them about how you're feeling. And I think it can be very easily said in general life, being married, you should probably talk to your spouse. So communicate. That's the one I'm going to work on.
I think just kind of like changing gears and having having my eyes on a different goal. And we've been so driven to this one thing for the past 2 years in the financial field. But I think de-stressing a little bit, letting, you know, last week sink in and hitting that final submit button and just taking it in and relaxing. I stressed out about finances so much over the last 2 years. And I think putting my focus towards something else, you know, working towards a better marriage with Megan and, you know, not letting that hang over us or dictate what we can do now, because we don't have that anymore.
Our money is ours now. We can go relax in some vacation spot if we want to.
Well, it's God's that he appoints to us.
That's true. That's true. But it doesn't belong to Great Lakes anymore. So
yeah.
Yep. Awesome. Praise God. Well, we are so thankful for you guys. We're thankful to have you all in our lives, and we're thankful and celebrating with you that you are debt free. And for those that are listening, who are interested in this journey, I pray that this was encouraging to you. You can do it. It is possible to pay off tens of thousands of dollars of debt and hit that debt free mark and milestone with God's help, doing it God's way.
Until next time, remember, we are better together.